Please turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 22, and I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're here with us. I thank you for every single person who's on this line, every person who will listen to this later. I thank you for this critical night and the privilege that we have to share it. Settle things around us, Lord, that we can stay focused and attentive to the word of the Lord and to our time of prayer. In your precious and most holy name, amen. Ezekiel 22 is full of information. It's full of a warning of the sins of the nation of Israel. And as Ezekiel details throughout this chapter, the many sins that are going to bring about judgment on the nation. At the very end of this chapter, and it's many sins that we're all familiar with. It's sins that the nations of the earth are still very much involved in. But at the end of this chapter, this is where I want to focus. Verse 30. All of these sins, from lying to their treatment of the widows, their treatment of the poor, their neglect of the strangers, their idolatry, how they've turned away from God and how they have profaned his name. They've become harlots with the other nations. And through all of these many now centuries that the nation had immersed itself in the sins of not only those that used to dwell in the land, but the nations that surround them. This is what he says. Verse 30, and I sought for a man among them, that he should make up the hedge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. I'm going to share several things that the Lord has given me for this nation, for the intercessor, about not only today, but through this year, and what God is going to release in the land. But I want to address this line right here. All of the years, the many prophets that came before Ezekiel to warn the nation had been split in two. Idolatry had come in, and the people had immersed themselves in it. And when people turn away from God, they immerse themselves in the sins of the nation, the sins of the land, the sins of those around them. They forget who their God is. And in the midst of it all, he says, I looked for a man who would stand in the gap before me and make up a hedge. We know this nation of America is not perfect. But this nation is in covenant with God. This nation has been established. Its destiny is to be an end-time nation, a place of refuge. It is to be the nation from which the greatest revival the world has ever seen will be born. It will spread throughout this nation and around the world. It will not just be a charismatic revival. It will not just be a revival that brings many into the kingdom of God. It will be a revival that provokes the heart of man to God, to Jehovah. It will be a revival that turns the heart of man to God. If you were in Joel's army with us, you understand what started, I believe, as the 5 R's and then moved to the 7 R's, and today it is 9 R's. We will see those 9 R's fulfilled in the midst of revival. Reformation has already been taking place. It takes time for us to see that roll out and really be before our eyes. And if you were to look at the history of the last 22 years, you would see, wow, I see it. I see how God is reforming from within. I see what he's doing. The revival that's coming will heal the heart. It will break off the brainwashing that's taken place in our youth. When we talk about the lame will walk and the blind will see, those that are bound in autism will be set free. It will be magnificent. As the power of God moves to touch his creation with his love and his healing power. But the thing that will set this revival apart from what we see in different places around the country, and there's beautiful revival services. There's beautiful, you know, they have crusades and then they label them revival. And I'm not coming against any of that. Please understand. But the revival that's coming, people will enter the building. They will enter the city and they will fall on their faces before the Holy God. They will be undone in his presence as he surrounds them with his holiness. It will be a beautiful provoking of the heart and the mind to God. We will see our youth transformed and become and step into the destiny God has ordained them for. We will walk in and we will weep because his presence is so strong. It will be every wonder that they have labeled natural or man-made in the world will pale in comparison to what we will see. It will be the great wonder in history. The things that we are doing, the things that we've been doing, are breaking up the bedrock and preparing for this, for the birthing of a move of God unlike anything we've ever seen before. He looked for a man who would stand in the gap and make up a hedge before him. Why? So that he would not have to pass the judgments upon the nation. That their own sin is crying out to him to bring about. For 22 years, we have been a hedge, standing in the gap for this nation to pave the way. My heart right now is so deeply impacted by his presence. Deeply impacted by your involvement. Because you're here, because you come and pray with us, you are part of that hedge. And I am forever grateful. My mom is forever grateful that you have not turned your back on the nation. I know many out there are crying out for judgment to come. But that's not God's heart, because he looked for a man who would stand in the gap. And he found you. I was sitting before the Lord, and I had a vision, and I'm going to share a couple of visions with you that I had, and a word the Lord gave me for us, and then I want to share a couple things from past revival. Thank you, Lord. I had a vision of an expansion coming among the intercessors. It brought strength and stability in the midst of the coming shakings. As we prayed and as we came together, it's as though we were separate parts, and it's like some kind of sci-fi movie where they've got great computer graphics and all of the pieces came together. And as they came together, they became like an arrow, and they were razor sharp. And they were able to cut through the plans of the enemy along with the necessary undoing of corruption. The work of the intercessors came together to form a weapon to cut through the plans of the enemy, cut through and undo the corruption. And it reminded me of the experience I had when the Lord took me up the hurricane, and I shared that last year. It was October 21st or 22nd. You can find that on our website, but I'm going to give you the seven waves of justice. As he took me up in it, he took me through it. There were seven rain bands, and in those rain bands, each represented an issue before the Lord. We were in the center. And as we were about to go back through the hurricane, he brought me into himself. And as we passed through the hurricane, back through the hurricane to get out, I felt the fear of the Lord begin to descend on our nation. The seven waves of justice, and they were in no particular order in which they'll occur. He just dropped them, boom, 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 into my spirit. It's justice for President Trump, justice for the church, justice for the unborn slaughtered at will, justice for the victims of COVID-19. This includes those who've lost family members, jobs, businesses, due to the vaccine mandates or business closures, and the economy as a whole. It included elected officials who are not in their rightful place. And I remember the dream I had last year of the indictments that were coming. The judge was signing them. There were over 200 indictments representing people that are not in the place they're supposed to be. Next was the blood of the martyrs, past and present. And think of the Huguenots. Think of the people of Afghanistan and everyone in between. And then the final one was the flag burned mercilessly in the streets in 2020. And that flag represents an adamant stand against a tyrannical rule. And what they have done is try to stomp on that. We are a restrainer of evil in the earth. America, that flag represents a stand against tyranny, and that's why they've tried to destroy it. God is going to bring justice in all of these things. And I saw the intercessors come together, and we formed this razor-sharp thing that cut through all of this as justice fell. And when that happened, the fear of God fell on this nation. I know the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the fear of the Lord, my friends, being restored is part of revival. The fear of the Lord says, I don't want to sin against your presence. This is what the fear of God does in the heart of man. The fear of God compels a person to protect the name of God, not sin against it, let alone use it in vain. The fear of God is going to be returned to our nation. The next one that he gave me, he told me that we are in the season of course correction, the season of course correction. I sat early in the morning before the Lord. I was praying in the Spirit. I felt very weary. The Lord came, and he placed one hand on my heart and then one hand on my back. You know how so often we'll pray for somebody, and we'll put our hand in their upper back and then over their heart. And he began to pray for me. My spirit became strengthened. And then I felt strength in my back. I felt strength in my body. I asked him for a word for the intercessors. A word to keep them pressing through. In the midst of the shaking and this season of cutting back through that hurricane. And he said, the year of the catalyst is a course correction, thrusting us forward into the destiny that I, the Lord, set for this nation. I need my intercessors ready to pray my nation through. They are my course correctors. Rise up, my intercessors. Rise up, stand, turn right, and prepare to correct this nation's course. I saw the nation before me. The Lord took his hand, placed it upon our country, and he shifted it right. It turned 3 degrees and then slid and locked into place. When it did, the alignment with God's destiny thrust us forward. It was a warp speed moment. It was like a sci-fi movie, I'm telling you. I saw us thrust through, and we moved so fast. It's like I could see, you know, the lines, the air pass me by. It was so intense. It pulled and then shifted the nations of the earth into their place. It thrust us forward at such a warp speed. It was so intense. It pulled and shifted the nations of the earth into their place that they too might fulfill their destiny. This is a course correction season. The Lord will be referenced. They will say, only God could do what we've seen in 2022. Then he said, come up to the mountain. My intercessors, come up to the mountain. Incidentally, 2022 in Hebrew is pour, or mountain. Come up to the mountain and pour yourselves out over the nations. The spirit of stimulation and revelation is going to pour out like never before. Stay on the mountain. You are my precious intercessors, my warriors. You stand as a restrainer of evil in the land. Do not grow weary. Come to the altar. Grab hold of the horns. I will refresh you and I will carry you through. Lift up your faith. Lift up your faith, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, for I will strengthen and equip you. I will do what I promised. I am the covenant-keeping God. Thank you, Lord. In December, I saw the Lord. He was up, and he was in heaven, and he was upon his throne. He heard the intercessors crying out for the nation. And when the last tear, it was though it was the tear, reached the bowls in heaven, the Bible tells us that he fills the bowls in heaven with our tears. He put his hands upon the armrest of his lofty throne, and he began to rise. He stood out over the heavens, and he began to rain down upon our land. And his visitation was here, and he blanketed our nation. The weight and the holiness of his presence impacted the people of our generation like never before. Last night I told you about how I felt his presence come over me, and it began to fold over me like a blanket, and like an accordion blanket. I felt the weight of it. And John, he had told me about a weighted blanket that they have that will help you sleep, and it helps settle you. And even people with anxiety, people that have trouble sleeping or toss and turn a lot, you can sleep under this blanket, and it will actually bring you into a restful sleep. And so I ordered one. He was so excited about it, and when John gets excited about something, he likes to share it because he wants to help people, you know. So I ordered one, and it arrived today. It wasn't supposed to be here until next week. It arrived today, and I'm telling you, I put that blanket on me, and I didn't want to get up. I felt the tangible weight, and he said, like you felt last night. Like you felt last night. It is a tangible presence. He said, this is what my presence will be like. You will not want to leave it. Oh, I'm cutting short on time. Okay, I want to share with you the intercessors of two revivals, and then I'm going to have to turn it over. The Hebrides Revival. This revival was birthed because of the intercessors. Peggy and Christine Smith, they were 84 and 82 years old. They were sisters. Peggy was blind. Her sister almost bent double with arthritis. They were unable to really attend public worship. Their humble cottage became a sanctuary where they met with God. To them came the promise, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. They pleaded this night and day in prayer. One night Peggy had a revelation. Revival was coming, and the church of her fathers would be crowded again with young people. She sent for the minister, the Reverend James Mackey, and told him what God had shown her, asking him to call his elders and deacons together for special times of waiting upon God. In the same district, a group of men praying in a barn experienced a foretaste of coming blessing. One night as they waited upon God, a young deacon rose and read part of the 24th Psalm. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Turning to the others, he said, Brethren, it seems to me just so much humbug to be waiting and praying as we are, if we ourselves are not rightly related to God. Then lifting his hands toward heaven, he cried, O God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? He got no further, but fell prostrate into the floor. An awareness of God filled the barn, and a stream of supernatural power was let loose in their lives. They had moved into a new sphere of God realization, believing implicitly in the promise of revival. I want to tell you, they are not the only ones who were the prayer warriors for this revival. Young and old became prayer warriors, who with a few words, one was a young boy named Donald. He was 15, and with a few words, in the middle of a busy police station, everyone fell prostrate on the floor. Everyone, because the anointing was so powerful. This is an awakening to who God is. Incidentally, the Hebrides revival, that is President Donald J. Trump's heritage. The Bible he holds up is the Bible from that revival. The last one, a prayer warrior for Charles Finney. This is from Daniel Nash, Prevailing Prince of Prayer. When God would direct where a meeting was to be held, Father Nash would slip quietly into town and seek to get two or three people to enter into a covenant of prayer with him. Sometimes he had with him a man of similar prayer ministry, Abel Clary. Together, they would begin to pray fervently for God to move into the community. He would come and he would stay. He would just go to a boarding house and they would just stay. And all they would do is pray. Charles Finney, a testimony of this. Charles Finney so realized the need of God's working and all his service that he was wont to send godly Father Nash on in advance to pray down the power of God into the meetings which he was about to hold. Not only did Nash prepare the communities for preaching, but he also continued in prayer during the meetings. Translators, I think I want to read that third paragraph that's on there. One such woman who Father Nash and Clay stayed with, they stayed in her cellar. She said, on one occasion when I got into town to start a revival, a lady contacted me. This is Charles Finney, who ran a boarding house. She said, Brother Finney, do you know a Father Nash? He and two other men have been at my boarding house for the last 3 days, but they haven't eaten a bite of food. I opened the door and peeked in at them because I could hear them groaning, and I saw them down on their faces. They had been this way for 3 days, lying prostrate on the floor and groaning. I thought something awful must have happened to them. I was afraid to go in and didn't know what to do. Would you please come see about them? No, it isn't necessary, Finney replied. They just have a spirit of travail in prayer. That's the intercessor. When Finney would walk into town, people would come and repent before him. He could go down the street and people would begin weeping because there was such an anointing on him for this. But that ground had been plowed through the intercessors' prayers. They turned or they course corrected that town before Finney ever got there. preparing that town for a move of God. Brothers and sisters, the intercessors, you are the course correctors for the nations. Whether you're here in America, whether you join us from Australia, who's under terrible persecution right now, whether you join us from the Asian countries, whether you join us from Canada, wherever you join us from, whether you're from Europe or Africa, wherever you join us from, you are the course correctors for the nations, preparing the ground for the move of God that will change that nation. A nation whose heart follows after God. You are the ones that help to bring about revival in the nation. Finney understood the value of the intercessors. The pastor who ended up preaching so much at the Hebrides revival, Duncan Campbell, he knew the value of the intercessors. We know the value of the intercessors. Allow the Lord to strengthen you. We are on a course correction to thrust us forward in God, and he is cutting through the corruption, and at the appointed moment, he will rain down upon us with his presence. He will turn the heart of man to their God, just like I saw with that hurricane. The fear of the Lord fell. We're not going to just have revival, my friends. We are entering into a holiness revival. The greater the number of our intercessors and the more mature we become, the more potent our intercessions are against the enemy. I want to pray over you very quickly and then hand it over so that John can begin praying. And I'm going to, and next week I'll probably talk about faith, to lift your faith, because the Lord's given me a couple of visions on this. So, Father God, I just speak over the intercessors. I speak over to my brothers and sisters on the line, whether they know they're intercessors or not, whether they're here to heal, to hear the word of the Lord, or whether they are here because they are intercessors faithful to the call. Provoke within them, Lord God. Prick their hearts and draw them into a place of intimacy with you. Strengthen them, O God. And let the call of the intercessor go forth. I have said this so many times, I didn't know I was an intercessor until I was one. Father God, let every person within the sound of my voice hear the call of the intercessor and step into their destiny, step into their call, and into their commissioning. In your precious and holy name, amen and amen. Thank you, Joe.